Hello and welcome to Growth Coaching International's Coaching and Education podcast series. I'm your host, Richard Reid, and throughout this series, we have heard from some inspirational educators about the impact coaching has had on both them and their school community. In this episode, I am excited to be joined by Roma McKinnon, who has over 40 years' experience in education, the last 20 of those in the principal class of the Victorian Department of Education in Australia. Roma's years in education have been spent working in some of Victoria's most disadvantaged communities, where students often face high levels of socioeconomic vulnerability, and where many students and their families are new arrivals to Australia, coming from as many as 58 different countries. Shortly after completing a Master's in School Leadership at Monash University back in 2009, Roma was appointed as the Principal of River Gum Primary School in Hampton Park in Melbourne, and is credited for the reculturing of a school in crisis through coaching and building a leadership team to implement curriculum innovation. In her time at River Gum, Roma has also developed system leadership capacity by mentoring three assistant principals who have all since gained principal positions. Roma believes that by building high-performing leadership teams through a coaching culture, continuous whole school improvement can be achieved. In 2015, Roma has been mentoring aspiring principals through the BASTO Principal Preparation Program, and since 2019, Roma has chaired the DET Teaching Academy Partnership with Monash University. More recently, since 2021, Roma has worked in the area of school improvement with over 25 schools in southern Melbourne. A career highlight for Roma has been the current leadership team at River Gum Primary School, achieving the 2020 Victorian Education Excellence Award for outstanding provision for high ability students. Roma, it is a privilege to have you join me on the podcast today.
Thank you, Richard. I really do appreciate being given this opportunity for this reflective conversation. I'd just like to share my story over time. It's been 11 years, and I will say that to reculture a school and turn a school around, it does take time. So I will share how the coaching culture has underpinned this work.
Fantastic. Roma, can you expand a little bit on the bio from the introduction and maybe share with us a bit more of your journey into education and how you arrived at River Gum Primary School?
Yeah, sure. Look, for many years I've worked in a number of disadvantaged schools, and in 2009 I did have the opportunity to apply for River Gum Primary School. It was a school with many challenges, being in a disadvantaged area. It also had a succession of up to five principals before I arrived. So the staff were used to seeing principals come and go. And, of course, the impact on the students was extreme. So rebuilding a school that was in such disarray was a challenge and one of the highlights of my career. And as I have said earlier, it does take time to turn a school around. And I will credit a lot of this work will be through my knowledge through growth coaching and the experience that I have had over time. And also my coaching experience has evolved over that period as well, starting initially in 2012 with an initial growth coaching course. And those were in the very, very early days when I did arrive at the school. So I will say that we have also grown in our knowledge of coaching and where it can lead us to.
Fantastic. I think two things you mentioned there, Roma, are key to our listeners and indeed over the whole series that we've been looking at over the last maybe the 12 months. You mentioned time, and that's an important one, that these things take, you know, a significant amount of time to put in place and to turn schools around. And also you mentioned the word evolved. Even your own skills within coaching, you know, has evolved over a period of time. And I think that's something that's really important to get across to folks whenever they're contemplating the idea of going down the route of coaching and establishing a coaching culture in schools. Roma, back in 2009, you had just completed a master's in coaching for writing. Can you share with us who or what motivated you to get interested in coaching in the first place?
Okay, so in 2009, as you've indicated, I did start a master's in educational leadership at Monash University. Now, at the time, our network was investigating the curriculum area of writing, and we were trying to have some impact and shift the outcomes in writing. So my question for my research was, basically, does peer coaching improve student outcomes in writing? Now, in those early days, there was very limited research in the area of coaching, and I did refer to the work of Joyce and Showers through a GROW model. Now, when you're doing a research, you need to actually back it up with articles too. Yeah. Now, at that stage, I had not had experience with growth coaching in those early days. So it was reading and really for me gaining my knowledge of how to go about implementing coaching for writing. Now, I wanted to do this well. Now, a lot of schools simply grab programs and they plonk them into the school. And that simply does not fix the work. Okay, so that's been the downfall of many programs over the years. My research into coaching was based on how to implement the theory. So we had the knowledge of the curriculum, but how do we do this well within the classroom? So it does impact on student outcomes. I believed very passionately that through coaching this was a possible solution, hence the title of my research article, Coaching for Writing. In those early days, we were using the coaching role more as a facilitator for those conversations and how the work was applying within the classroom and supporting the teachers of how to implement a writing program. I suppose during those times also one of the highlights was presenting at the principal's conference on the power of the conversation. And I'm a great believer in the power of a conversation. And that really did link very much into my current research as well. Because if we talk about our work, we learn from each other. And that has really been one of the bases of how I've implemented coaching or a coaching culture throughout the school over time. I also will say in 2009, being a very new principal, the Department of Education always implemented coaching for new principals. Okay. And right from the very beginning, I took on those opportunities, and I know that those coaches had growth coaching experience in those early days, right back in 2009. And I know that that has also evolved as well.
It's interesting that the number of times just in that last part of the conversation, Roma, you mentioned the word how, maybe four, five, six times. And it's interesting, you know, that you do prioritize the how. And I really do like that phrase you use, the power of conversation. And you said there, if we talk about our work, we learn from each other, which fits in so well with the whole concept of coaching. Roma, in our previous conversation, you described your initial years at Rivergum Primary School as time spent building up Leadership Team 1. You attended some training, as you've mentioned, with GCI in those early years, and you trialled the concept of coaching in the school at the same time as you were developing your senior leaders. Can you share with us a bit more about what that looked like on the ground?
Absolutely, Richard. Those were very exciting early days as well. As I did say, it wasn't all plain sailing, as the staff were probably waiting for me to leave as well, as those other five principals did. So it was a tough school, and the question really was, where do you begin? Where do you begin to build a leadership team? And I'm a great believer that you build with the team that you have around you.
Yeah.
So what we did do was work through conversation in those early days, working out who would join that leadership team. Mm-hmm. And I'm a great believer that you you appoint people to leadership on their capacity, not purely in the number of years that they have in the school. Now, I did end up appointing quite a young leadership team because they were ready to learn, and we needed change at that stage within the school. We were endeavouring to build our knowledge around curriculum, and we were in a place where we were involved in continuous learning, and we had multi-layers that we were endeavouring to all join together, and we've used coaching to be able to do that. The multi-layers were the Department of Education's pedagogy, developing current curriculum approaches that suited the students and the school. So a great believer in the team as well to implement current department pedagogy, always based on current research. We looked at the preconditions for school improvement using the word, the work of Sabah, Kimber and Marshall, and also the work of Michael Fullan. How we actually implemented the work was building the capacity of the team, utilising the department's effective schools model at first, which there was a focus on building leadership teams and high-performing teams. We also used in 2012, as we began that journey, the team were involved in the very first growth coaching training sessions, and that was led by Chris Munro, who is now the Executive Director of Growth Coaching International. And I believe that was probably one of the first coaching courses that he implemented in Australia. So that gives you a little bit of an overview of how we started to build that team. Since then, those people have gone on to lead their own schools and be principals and further grow their skills in their own schools too, which is great. We also were very, very strong in the area of mathematics curriculum. That is an area that we were beginning to gain some traction. As you know, when you go through reculturing a school, the curriculum focus is paramount, and that is why we did start with mathematics. There was the area of English, which is one of my passions as well. The approach was quite problematic, and what we did find over time with the leadership team, that it was a watered-down approach, and it was actually not gaining the traction like the mathematics curriculum was as well. So over those periods of time, those early years, we realised together that the explicit instruction was lacking. And also we had the knowledge of curriculum. Yet again, it was how we would move forward to implement this work within the classrooms to have that the outcomes that we wanted for students.
Yeah.
At this stage, schools were implementing programs that were not evidence-based, or they were not driven by data, and they were not reaching the classrooms as what we'd wanted.
It's interesting when you mention again, you know, you come back to the how, which I think is so important, and it's nice to see that thread running through your whole conversation. And you also touched then in that last question on the who, and I think it's important as well to acknowledge the fact, as you say, that you had people in your leadership team who weren't necessarily had years and years of experience, but had the capacity to lead and to lead well. It's interesting as well, Roma, when you made the comment that in those initial days, and yes, you're right, it's not always plain sailing when you're implementing, you know, a significant initiative like this. But in those early days, the staff were almost waiting for you to leave. And isn't it a delightful experience to get to the point where you've built your team up so well and so effectively that it's actually your team leaders that have started to leave purely because they've done so well, and then and they're furthering their career by actually getting principal posts elsewhere. So obviously over recent years, you've then had to respond to those changes in staffing and thus move on to building what you would call Leadership Team 2. Can you tell us a bit more about this stage at Rivergum Primary School?
Okay, so over time, and yes, this is what coaches do, is they build the capacity of leaders to so they can grow the system. So during that time as well, it was a challenge of rebuilding a team and also looking for within. So the Leadership Team 1 really did set the school up for this next stage. Mm-hmm. They were the models of how the work was done. Yeah. And we were gaining traction with the staff and the work within the classrooms. It was a great place to be. And this Leadership Team 2, I will say, I'm reflecting from around 2018, where we were in the rebuilding stages of the new Leadership Team. And to continue that learning, so we did have continuous improvement, we rejoined Growth Coaching International, and the Leadership Team participated in a new course to develop that coaching culture to ensure that it carried on. So that was one of the very first initiatives that we did with this new team as well. So we know as coaches, when we're rebuilding, we're looking at the capacity of within to build that team for the future and how we actually identify those new leaders. We were in a totally different stage of learning for the team as well as the school. It was actually aligning with the department's initiative of the new learning specialist program, where learning specialists were employed within the school that were classroom based. And this is where we wanted to gain further traction of bringing the work, the coaching culture into the classroom. And this is where I believe the next stages of this next leadership team actually did have successes. And also we were involved in the Department of Education's professional learning communities training, the initial trainings of the PLC work. So together with being able to use NAPLAN and the data as the entry points for school improvement, we were able to put faces, the student faces on the data. So we were able to identify the problem of practice, and we could identify the work that needed to move our school forward. The ultimate aim was to grow the new leaders as well through this coaching course, and also through a continuous cycle of building their capacity over time. We're also building the capacity of middle leaders through the PLC work as well. And so that was very different from Leadership Team 1. And I believe also that is how the system had built and how the system was changing as well. We were building on the exciting experiences of the past, and the outcome was really the highlight that we're able to showcase some of this work in 2019 at a principal's conference, where I spoke with Dr. Mary Jean Gallagher on how we could focus on lifting school performance. And what I've just reflected on was the how we went about achieving this work. And through those coaching skills of listening, asking the best questions, and also building the relationship with the team, building a team with trust, And that actually flowed through to the culture. And we did find that our staff opinion surveys, the culture was improving. So we had that collective efficacy. So the worlds were aligning. We had the curriculum, we had the knowledge, we had the coaching culture, we had the data, so we could look at where the gaps were and we could identify those problems of practice.
Fantastic. And it's lovely to see how, you know, the whole thing, and to use your words, the whole thing had evolved, you know, from the successes of team leadership team one, and then moving into leadership team two, you were building on that and actually making it even better the second time round, which is just terrific. And you mentioned there a phrase, bringing it into the classroom, and you commented a couple of times there on that famous word, Roma, data. Obviously, for some listeners, you know, the best way to measure the impact of a school-wide initiative like coaching is to look closely at pupil outcomes. Can you share with us how in the last few years the success of Rivergum Primary School has really been recognised for this?
Okay. Look, thank you, Richard. I suppose from 2019 with the new team and building that capacity, there was a real change in the leading teachers and the way that we had worked with the learning specialists as well. In 2019, we did participate in the impact cycle and used the work of Jim Knight to delve deeper into our professional learning teams and use that work to set the scene for 2020. The leadership team were ready to grow their own style, and the impact cycle at that right time, because we talked about the timing also, and also a believer that you cannot plonk approaches or programs into schools. It needs to evolve and the time needs to be right. It was the missing link. The leadership team were now instructional coaches and they fostered powerful improvement in teaching. We've refined the work and it made a real difference in the PLCs. We had an instructional model and we were looking at explicit instruction, which led to better learning. Our curriculum approaches were well in place. And we also had curriculum scope and sequence in place. This was not by chance. It was more effective. Our coaches were having a greater impact. At that particular time, we're also adjusting and modifying at all times and also simplifying the work. We were developing action plans so we could really focus on the problems of practice, looking at our current reality aligned with the data. And this really did start to evolve through the impact cycle. And so much so, the data, Rivergum Primary School highly outperformed the state and similar schools in both growth and high attainment in numeracy over the 3 years. And in that 2020, we did achieve an award for innovation and excellence for high ability students in the area of mathematics. And the data showed that we did outperform state and similar schools. In reading, and I did mention that reading was problematic in those early days because we were not sure about the approach. And in reading, Rivergum Primary School had gone from close to 50% in the bottom two bands in reading to having no percent of students below national standards in Year 5 NAPLAN in 2021. So we're talking about a school in a low socioeconomic area. Mm-hmm. If you can shift those bottom bands in reading, wow, that was a great outcome. And I do credit this work to the PLC structure and also the work of the impact cycle within the school. We're looking also that students were scoring in mathematics in the top two bands They'd reached 30% in 2021, mm-hmm. up from 9% in the top two bands 5 years previous. Okay. So you can see that continuous growth happening within the school. And so they're the highlights. And I know this new team want to share this work perhaps in another podcast later on, Richard.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, Roman, you know, even when you're talking through those outcomes, you know, and I know we're doing this and we're working face to face, although it's an audio recording, I can see you get more animated when you're talking about the data and those outcomes, because you can't argue with those numbers. I mean, the numbers are there to prove, you know, the impact of the hard work that you folks have put in. And you mentioned two other words there that I think are important. Timing's important, and I think the fact that these things were coming into place at the right time, and also again you mentioned that word evolve, so the whole system within the school was evolving, and that's something that does genuinely take a long period of time. You just can't rush this. Roman, more recently your role has shifted away from the Rivergum principal's office and has found you working with a whole variety of schools at department level. Can you give us an idea of what that work has entailed and how your experiences of coaching has had a big impact on your success levels there?
Okay, Richard. Yes, in 2021, I stepped away from the dream team. They were ready to lead and move our school forward. And I know that they will be telling the story about their work with the impact cycle as well. So I was given the opportunity to work with a number of network schools, up to 25 schools. And that was during the height of the pandemic. So that was a challenge within itself.
Yeah.
We were looking to work with leadership teams for quick turnarounds. Most recently I have got into two schools, and basically on reflection I'm looking at those schools have had one whole term of coaching on site.
Okay.
And so when you're looking at a coach and a principal going into a school, to have that coaching on site for one term, you can actually have a great impact.
Sure.
Because you can identify the problem of practice.
Mm-hmm.
You can quickly identify those staff in the leadership team that will be good to work with,
mm-hmm.
to build their capacity. Often in these schools, there were challenges,
mm-hmm.
Because that was the part of the reason why I did go into those schools.
Yes.
So looking at the skills and knowledge of the team and working with those teachers or those leaders that needed to do the work,
mm-hmm.
was part of the role, and I used my coaching skills on a daily basis to build the capacity of those leaders. And in both the schools now, they have got substantive principals appointed, and mm-hmm. the work will continue. I will say that how we did that work was very, very quickly looking at the problem of practice. I mentioned earlier about our school implementing the PLC work. What I did find in some of the schools were that the improvement cycles, there was something like up to 15 steps that the schools were using. And these schools, the work was really large. And a lot of the work that we were doing was refining the work down. And we do know that in the impact cycle there are three steps: the identify, the problem of practice, you mm-hmm. learn, and you improve.
Yeah.
And what basically we were finding that a lot of the schools were getting lost in the work. And, of course, if you've got up to 15 steps in a cycle, that is going to increase teachers' workload. It is not going to refine the practice. So what we need to do is refine that work right down so we could actually get that traction for improvement. In that period of time, a lot of the work was building the trust of the leaders, developing the relationships, and also coaching at the point of need. And in the words of growth coaching, coaching is a way of being. And I suppose in my experience as a coach, it becomes your way of being and the way that you address all conversations in your work. And also, we have the knowledge. It's the how you implement the work. And I believe developing the coaching culture is the way that you implement the work.
That's lovely to see how you've used, you know, your experiences in Rivergum and applied that, you know, to a significant number of other schools, you know, who have been experiencing their own issues. And it's lovely when you talk about that coach way of being and your coaching approach to go in and help address these issues. And I've noted a couple of things down there. You know, first of all, simplify the process. And coaching is about simplifying the process. It's very, very effective that way. Clarifying the need. So getting to the point of need very, very quickly, which, you know, you were going in and you're working in a short space of time. And then that idea of refining the way forward and giving the school a little bit of clarity on exactly the direction they need to go. Very importantly, you mentioned there, you know, the whole concept of building trust. And that's a big part of the coaching way of being. And if you can go in and start to build trust within other teams, then very, very quickly they'll see a very clear way forward. Finally, Roma, for anyone listening who is at the very start of developing a coaching culture in their school, what advice would you give them at the early stages?
Okay, well, thank you, Richard. Look, I'm very, very mindful of the situation that we've been in over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
We've got a workforce that is fatigued, mm-hmm. and we also need to be mindful of how we move in the area of school improvement.
Yeah.
We also look for quick wins.
Mm.
And also, I will say my most recent work was identifying what those quick wins will be. And also leaders want to improve.
Yes.
And that is something that I've also noted in these schools as well. So how do you turn a school around? Look, you need time for reflection.
Yeah.
You need strategies to trial within your school. Mm-hmm. And you really need to know what the future work will be and to identify what the real work will be to implement. And also we talked about the narrowing of the focus and keeping that work simple and refining the goals. We also need to, and I did touch on this, to empathise with the teachers and also with the leaders because the work is large. We need to identify quality of instruction and we can use the impact cycle to do that. We also need an authentic improvement cycle that meets the needs of individual schools.
Mm-hmm.
What I have noticed over time, every improvement cycle will look different in every school,
yes.
and it should do. You need to collaborate with your leaders, and you also need to collaborate with your staff and build the skills as you go in a trusting environment. I'm a great believer in using current pedagogy and knowledge
mm-hmm.
because that is how we have the continuous improvement and looking at current research as well. And the power of listening that our coaching skills bring to identify those potential leaders that we can see will implement the work.
Yes.
Because that is the next phase to actually have that impact on student learning outcomes and knowing that problem of practice. And I will say, finally, the action plans that are small, that identify those quick wins and develop achievable goals that you can then implement and monitor. And remember, the power of the conversation and your coaching culture within your school that will actually bring your staff with you and also that collective efficacy, which will improve your student learning outcomes as well. And I'll conclude that the conversations being a way of being in what you do every day. You look at the teachable moments in your classroom, but you also look at the coaching moments when you're working with potential leaders as well.
Superb advice, Roma, certainly for anybody listening who's at that, I suppose, that early stage. And I think, you know, genuinely, one thing that struck me out of that long list of advice was the first thing that you mentioned, and you gave it priority, was for school leaders to be mindful of what their staff has been through. I think over the last 2 years, I think you're absolutely right. And moving forward, to think about it within that context, and just be mindful of where people are, what they've been through. But genuinely, people do want to improve. Roma, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us on the podcast today. Your coaching journey is a fascinating one, and you have certainly experienced a great deal of success at building high performance teams through a coaching approach to leadership. For our listeners, similar to our virtual visit to Brighton Grammar a few episodes back, our visit to Rivercombe Primary School is also going to be doubleheader, and I'm really looking forward to part two, where I'll be in conversation with some other members of the leadership team at Rivercombe to hear how the coaching culture is being both maintained and developed while Roma's focus is on her work with the Department of Education in Victoria. This will be a great opportunity to see what happens when theory and good intentions meet reality.